Yes, you can just moan and groan and be noisy.
If it's just, if she's just making noises like that, I think it would be the most popular podcast we'd ever done. People would just listen for the baby noises.
Yeah, I think that's likely.
So cute. Welcome to the Operation Move podcast. My name is Zoe and I'm here with Kate, and Kate is here with someone else.
Yes, I'm here with baby Amelia, who you'll hear squeaking and chatting and being cute in the background because she's not sleeping today.
So, yes, we're going to be very creative this year with podcasting with a newborn, but then you get to hear all the awesome baby sounds too. So it's very good for me because I get lots of vicarious baby, given that I've definitely finished having babies.
Yeah. And the noises are definitely the cutest thing. It's, you know, we're at night when she sleeps, which happens sometimes, and she just does this little, you know, there's little noises that you forget as soon as their toddlers and they're yelling at you. And it's, oh gosh, it's sweet. Very gorgeous.
Yeah. Yeah, very much the case. And this morning both of mine were outraged at me for several reasons. There were hair tantrums and shoe tantrums, which was mostly because I spent all of yesterday trying to get a lock on the office, because it's sort of like it's on an extension to the house, so it has a sliding door which had a lock in it, but we didn't get the keys to it, so I had to put a new lock on it, but it didn't quite work, so I had to kind of like amalgamate the new one and the old one. It took all day and it was this big deal, and so the kids didn't end up going to bed until like after nine, because once I've sort of like halfway into a project like that, I'm just incapable of just putting it down and putting them to bed. So they're both cranky as this morning.
Oh, that's good fun. I'm the same. If I start something, if I have to not finish it, I find it very, very stressful and frustrating.
So, yeah, but it's done now. So I'm not actually in there right this minute because I haven't had a chance to move the computer yet. But today, hopefully, I will get to set it up properly, and I'm going to get shelves in there for all of the stock. At the moment, all of the Operation Move, like t-shirts and singlets and everything, are in like suitcases. So I'm not sure exactly what would happen if I accidentally took one of those suitcases on a trip. I would probably only be half clothed. But so yeah, I'm excited to actually set that up. But we should probably introduce new people to Operation Move, because it's been a long while since we've done a podcast.
Yes, it certainly has. It's been a funny old summer, hasn't it, in between?
Yes. I mean, I think that we sort of had plans of coming back sooner than what we have. But, you know, moving house and newborn babies will do that.
Yeah, who saw that coming?
So, yeah. So, for people who are new to the podcast, Operation Move is something that has been going for... What would it be now? Are we into our fourth year now?
Fifth year.
Fifth? Yep. Wow.
Yeah. Pretty awesome.
And it started as a challenge, essentially, on Kate's blog, getting people to join in for a challenge of moving minutes, and people would track how many minutes they were moving for the week and report it in. So it was sort of like a community and accountability thing. And that's how I started getting involved with Operation Move, and it just sort of organically grew from there. So now we do a whole range of different things. So I do running coaching with Far and Fast, and we run learn to run programs. Usually they run about every 5 weeks. And we also have Run Club, which is a great support community with a lot of resources for weekly workouts and training plans and things like that, and also do custom run training. And even though it's very sort of a lot of the coaching that we offer is run focused, we have a wider community group where it's really all about people doing the types of things that they like to do, whether that's like, you know, CrossFit or lifting or biking or those crazy triathlon people.
And Zumba. I love that we still have that big free community that's open to everyone, no matter what stage you're at, no matter what you choose, what you love to do. You're welcome in there and you'll always find someone else to chat with who's on the same page as you.
Yeah, and it's sort of, you know, like it's sort of, you know, a lot of the time in the like in Far and Fast with Run Coaching, it's all sort of focused around running, but I have sometimes you get something a bit different. So at the moment, one of our members is training for her black belt, and so she's got this big fitness challenge coming up, so I'm programming a lot of burpees at the moment, so she swears at me a lot. But so yeah, and we sort of, we try to, like, the, it was funny, the other day I sent out this tweet about, it was like an old post about what to do when you fall short of your goals, and I put the hashtag on it, Run Chat, which is sort of like one of the main hashtags for running on Twitter, and somebody quoted it and said, what did they say? Let's read out a direct quote. I won't tell you who this person's username is, because why give them the oxygen? I just noticed something else that was, somebody had quoted, that was also equally horrifying. You need a strong stomach to exist on Twitter.
That's why I don't Twitter anymore.
Somebody said, you just don't slack and don't fall short of your goals. Those running 100 miles have the same 24 hours. Thanks for the judgment, guy. And I looked at that and I thought, that is literally why we exist, because it's that kind of mentality that all achievement is 100% correlated to effort, when the two are often completely disconnected, and there are a million reasons why you might fall short of your goals. Maybe you just moved, maybe you just had a baby, maybe your kids have massive separation anxiety at school, or you've had like a huge presentation at work, or you are studying at uni and, you know, and working full time, or maybe it's just that you're, you know, you were shooting for the stars and you did pretty awesome, but you didn't quite get to where you want to go. In particularly in running, like a lot of goals that people initially might have are pretty arbitrary, like, you know, like run 5Ks in, say, under 40 minutes or whatever it is. And the improvement will definitely happen, but how long that takes, that will vary hugely from person to person. And that kind of attitude that it's all sheer force and any kind of failure is your failure is kind of like this whole problem that I have with the fitness and the diet industry in general, which is,
and it comes from a position of massive privilege, I think. Like, yes, we all have 24 hours, but are you keeping five people alive in that 24 hours? Are you feeding a horde? Are you fitting in a 12-hour work day? You know, like, I find that stuff really kind of massively offensive.
Yeah, you know, like, you have people who are, you know, are single parents or working full time, and they have young kids, and, you know, how are they expected to go out and do, you know, like a 10K training run? When is that going to happen? And how can that happen when, you know, they have no one to look after their kids? And that's just as an example. Like, obviously, there are plenty of situations which make it challenging for people who don't have kids. But I guess because you and I both have kids, that's sort of automatically what we think of, because that's what we can relate to. But it's like this whole thing. Somebody also on Twitter, because there are some nice people on Twitter, sent me this link to this article that was written by some kind of a personal trainer about, you know, like, people think that they want to change, but they don't really, this kind of thing. And it's a similar kind of attitude, you know, like, they're like saying the difference is between people who work hard and aren't really willing to push themselves hard and, you know, all that kind of, you know, has to be hard or it doesn't count kind of mumbo jumbo. And she asked me what I thought, and I said, well, I think it's really problematic because they're saying any success is because they're an awesome coach and any failure is because you're a crap human, you know. Wow. Instead of, you know, a coach actually tapping into what is the obstacle for that person, you know. So somebody might really want to make some improvements, but if they go into a really intense workout, they're not going to feel good and they're not going to do it again. Or it's going to, like, say for example, it might bring up like probably when I started running, if I did something really intense, it might bring up for me lots of feeling of inadequacy that I had, like, as a flow on for being really crap at sports in high school. And that's really counterproductive for me to, like, go back into that place of feeling like a generally crap person, you know, because you need to be building confidence in it and you need to be doing something that you enjoy, not something that makes you feel like shit. So, you know, like, there's this whole, and it's that whole thing with, you know, diet as well. Any success in a diet, the diet is a success, but if you fail, it's 100% your fault. Like, there is, it's just this sort of great big lie that perpetuates all this continued investment in programs that are essentially designed to fail because that's their business model.
That's how you make money again and again.
Yeah, is because people go, oh, I did this 12-week program, but I failed, so I'll sign up again, and this time I'll really, really stick it out, when instead of going, okay, I need something that is actually going to work for me. The reason why this didn't work for me is A, B, or C. Maybe it was too restrictive. Maybe you didn't have enough support. Maybe you ended up feeling like you didn't have enough energy. Maybe you weren't having your emotional needs met in some way. There are a whole lot of reasons that are sort of external to you that could be coming into that, and those sorts of programs really don't sort of allow that conversation to happen in any real way. It's always all your fault because this one person, or, you know, or even say 10% of people did it and it worked for them. If it doesn't work for you, then you're crap. Well, no, it just means that, you know, I'm a really big believer in that. The program should change to suit you. You shouldn't change to fit, you know, a certain program, or, you know, in some cases, obviously find something that's better suited to you. But, you know, and then I could obviously go off on a tangent about how, you know, 1200 calories destroys your metabolism and guarantees that you'll put back on the weight and you'll come back to the same program and go back in this never ending cycle. But
it's hard though, isn't it? I had lunch on Sunday with a couple of friends I haven't seen for a while, and one of them has just started a 12-week program exactly like that, calorie restrictive, and the other one was saying, oh, you know, it sounds great, I need to do that. These are both healthy, active, busy women with jobs and children, and in all their busy lives they're trying to fit in this meal prep under this specific calorie restriction. And, you know, they're saying, you know, I'm not hungry, it's going well, it's only a few weeks in. But, you know, she was like, oh, I'm a bit tired. And I'm thinking, of course you're tired. You're not fueling your body even for just the daily activity you need to do. And she was feeling guilty because she can't fit in the required exercise that this program dictates. And, like, I'm familiar with this program, and it, for me, there is a big imbalance between what it's expecting of people to produce physically and what it's allowing them to consume to fuel that performance. And I just thought, gosh, if you're tired at 3 weeks, you know, I really hope the next few weeks either you decide it's not for you and find something, or, you know, stop feeling guilty yourself, because it's not you failing the program, it's the program failing you.
Yeah, and I would love for people to see what, you know, for the types of, you know, high intensity activity that a lot of people are asked to do on certain programs, or even just high level, like not necessarily super high intensity, but, you know, for a long period of time, I would love people to see what, you know, athletes, you know, with a similar amount of workload are actually eating, because their diet does not look anything like your diet, you know. And obviously oftentimes you have people who are working out, you know, 2 hours a day, and so there is a difference there, but compared to what a lot of people do in those programs, it's not a huge difference, and people would be shocked as to the sheer amount of food that people in sort of high performing areas eat. And you know, obviously they've built up to that over time, but you know, I think that a lot of times the problem is that people have sort of like gone through various sort of dieting cycles, and their body has adjusted to having less and less and less food, and you get to a point that when you like drop any intake from that, you're no longer getting, you don't have the room to get the nutrients you need. So you know, you've kind of got to then get your body used to eating more, not less, before you even think about that sort of stuff happening, particularly if you've had a history of dieting, which I think that there aren't that many people who don't.
Yeah, and I completely understand that desire to for that to work. Like, I understand how people go into it thinking this is what's going to work, because we see it on TV and everyone knows someone who it has worked for, which is great. You don't necessarily see that person a year later and know whether it's been a sustainable thing. For some people, maybe it is, and that's great for them. But I think for the majority of people, you need to find something that is going to work for you for life. And I guess for me, the last, you know, 5 years of OpMove, that's one of the greatest things I've learned, aside from moving because I love it and that being a priority, is that you need to fuel movement. Like, the way I think about food and treat my body is completely different. And I guess I understand the pressures that are on particularly women in terms of how we look differently to how I did before we started. And it's interesting, like, as a postpartum woman, like, I'd forgotten that there exists that whole thing where people have expectations of how women look after having a baby. Like, I understand it exists in celebrities and stuff, but even the pressure just, you know, regular women are putting on themselves to have lost the baby weight within a particular amount of time and things like that. And it is massively depressing to me. And I've been getting out walking because that's really important for my mental health, and because I'm going to be doing Learn to Run again soon, and I want to be ready for that and see what my body's able for. And people are assuming I'm doing that because it's going to make me leaner. And you know, I could not care less how my body looks right now. It's just produced this amazing person. But you know, that assumption, that cultural belief that everything we do is about how we look is just so depressing.
It really is, you know. And it's just like another form of, you know, like, when you are pregnant, there's all of this kind of like, people kind of assume ownership of your body because you're incubating another human. Like, they think that they can just come up to and touch you, or can dictate what you eat or what you don't eat or what's going on. And then it just kind of continues on after you have the baby. And then it's sort of like, you know, I think it all, like, so much of it too is just is genetics, and it's uncontrollable. So beating yourself up about, like, I always like stacked on massive amount of weight during a pregnancy, and it usually took me a good year or more, a lot more in the case of the last one afterwards. And a lot of it is, whereas you, I think that there were, you know, the other women I know who, you know, who just are sort of like all out in front, and then, you know, and kind of, you know, look sort of just how they did before they were pregnant relatively quickly. And, you know, I'm sure some of it is lifestyle, but I think a lot of it is genetics, and it's just...
Oh, it's just good luck, isn't it? I mean, I'm pretty tall, and I am naturally relatively lean. That's my build. And so that's what my body is reverting to. And like you, like, I think it was about a year after I had all my other babies that I was back to pre-pregnancy, whatever. This time I suspect it'll be quicker than that, just because I am more active, because I have 5 children and I don't always think to eat at the best times. And that's a terrible reason for me for that weight to be coming off. Like, I would much prefer it to be because I am fueling myself and I'm eating regularly and I'm healthy. That's, you know, I'd really... The size is irrelevant. It's my level of health. Like, at the moment, I'm feeding another human, and I'm her only source of nutrition. So I need to be looking after myself, and that means how I'm eating and how I'm feeling, not how I look.
Yeah, it's there she is.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a sad old world, isn't it? And I guess that's the most powerful thing for Operation Move for me, and it has been from the start. It's completely shifted the way I think about my body and how I eat and how I treat it. And it's, you know, paying dividends now. Like, certainly at 40, having had my fifth baby, it was the least awful pregnancy, I would say. It was still awful because pregnancy and I did not get along, but it was, you know, it was a lot more bearable than the others because, you know, I guess all the work I'd done in, you know, looking after my body and treating it well and exercising because I love it had, you know, really paid off.
Yeah, and it does, I think that one of the things I love about the Operation Move community is you're continually being reminded of where you started, because you're seeing people at the start of their journey, whatever it is. It might be with running, but might be with something else, and you get to see, you know, like a lot of people will start something like that because they are interested in losing weight, and over time you'll see that become less and less of a focus as they become more impressed with what their body can do, and it becomes a lot more about doing the things that they love and enjoying their life and all of that sort of stuff.
Yeah, exactly right. And so, you know, I guess in a nutshell, that's what Operation Move is. We're open for everybody, for all women. We have lots of different options no matter where you are, no matter what your goals are, what you want to do. You'll find someone who has similar ideas and goals and hopes. And if nothing else, you'll find a community where you'll be supported regardless of where you are.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that it can be quite intimidating in certainly in some of the other running communities that I've been in. Like, you see some of the things that some people are doing, and when you're starting it can be quite intimidating. So it's good to have a community where I think that there is a good mix of sort of experienced runners and also new runners, so, you know, there's always people who are going through what you're going through.
Yeah, exactly right. And for me, this is going to be a really interesting year, because when we started OpMove all those years ago, we were both kind of starting out and getting moving, whereas now you're very active and you're coaching and you've got your qualifications and all that, and I feel like I've kind of come full circle and I'm right back where we started, having not been able to run for, well, a year now, and I, you know, walked through most of the pregnancy, but I'm really back at square one. And I love that I'm joining Learning to Run, and I'm in a group with a coach who's, it's her first group she's coaching, and she's going to be amazing. We've known her for a long time. And it's exciting for me that I was the thing that started all that time ago, and now I'm coming in like a whole new person. I get to experience it the way all our new people do.
Yeah. It's, I think it's, I always love it when people who are studying again, you know, like go through the Learn to Run process with our coaches. And I think that it's always a great great experience, very different to how we did it when we just
made it up
did everything else ourselves and made a whole bunch of idiotic mistakes along the way too.
Yeah, which is great, because now other people don't have to.
No, you don't have to do, you know, 6 months of rehab like I had to do because of it, like whatever it was, like shin splints. Yeah.
And we won't be advising you to go for a long run 2 days before your first half marathon, for instance.
No.
And all the silly, oh gosh, we did some silly things. Isn't that funny?
Yes. So, yeah, so for people who are new, you sort of now have a sense of like how we started, and then we were partners for a long while in Operation Move, and Kate mostly looked after the Learn to Run side, and I'm mostly looked after the more run coaching side for experienced runners. And then Kate basically had to take a step down for personal reasons with so much going on, but has come back in. So now she's the marketing manager. So she looks, if you see a Learn to Run ad, then that's something that Kate has put together. And we do the podcast together, and she has branched out into mindset and life coaching. So you can, which probably is that a bit on hold at the moment?
Yeah, it is. I'm doing bits and pieces, and I'm still floating around in the MindFit group having chats with people. I had that awesome thing you do sometimes when you have a baby where you're like, oh, I've got all the ideas, and I thought, oh, I'm going to rewrite MindFit and relaunch it soon. And then the reality of having a newborn is like, oh, I haven't slept in 2.5 weeks and I can't string a sentence. But, you know, I'll get there. But yes, I'm still flirting around with that stuff. One-on-one coaching is definitely on hold at the moment. I'm lucky I'm even able to speak to you.
Yes, and we did have, like, if anybody is paying attention on Instagram, last week I said we're about to record and that never happened.
But I'll make up for it, 'cause I'm about to post a photo of the very cute baby on my lap while we're podcasting this time. So.
And, you know, now I think it's one of those, it's been so long since I've had a baby in the house, but it does, you do get vague memories coming back. Mm. And I remember it was just, you know, there's a reason why you can never, like, even with Riley, she was like, she was the most on a schedule baby ever. Not thanks to me, she was just sort of put herself on a schedule. But even with that, like, you think that you could completely rely on her like clockwork, and then I'd make a plan to go somewhere and she'd sleep for 5 hours, which is, you know, obviously a good problem to have. But yeah, the unpredictable nature of newborns, it's good that I work from home, so I can just hop on when she is, well, she wasn't 100% ready today, but she's been pretty awesome.
Yeah, she's fast asleep on a cushion on my lap now. Gorgeous thing. I may never get up again. It's a pity I still have to do other things for other children in the rest of my life. Oh, sleeping babies, they're good.
They are. Is it easier though with the others being at school?
No, it is and it isn't. You know, I thought this time, I had this idea that it was going to be like having your first, but with clues, because she's at home just with me during the day. And in some ways it is. Like, I love that we've got this one-on-one time and stuff. But the reality is I still have four other children. So, you know, my laundry, if I don't do it for 2 days in a row, God help me, I may never leave the house again. It's things like that that you don't factor in that take up so much time that you just do on a daily basis. So a lot of my time is spent just keeping on top of that kind of housey stuff, which at the moment feels exacerbated because, you know, feeding takes a long time still and stuff like that. But having said that, I have the most amazing helpers all the time. We get home from school and my big two, particularly my son's 13 and my daughter's 11, and they are incredible. They love her so much. And they will just sit for half an hour and rock her and keep her company. So that whole arsenic hour thing that was hell on wheels with my other children just isn't an issue, because there's always someone waiting to give her a cuddle, which is just, you know, such a blessing for her and such a blessing for me.
Yeah, what do they say about, like, the youngest in big families, like, their feet probably don't touch the floor until they're, like, three?
Yeah, it seems legit to me. That's definitely what happens here. It is the most beautiful thing to see. Oh, gorgeous girl. She's sucking on her dummy and just being super cute at the moment. And you know that post-pregnancy hormonal thing where just little things make you cry? Like, she's so cute, it makes me cry sometimes. And, you know, my oldest son, I was dropping him off to see his dad last weekend, and he got in his dad's car and he's like, oh, I've forgotten something. And he ran back to my car and stuck his head in the capsule and kissed her and whispered, I love you, baby. And, it, you know, stuff like that. Bawling. All the time bawling. I'm a complete useless wreck.
And how's the walking going? Is what sort of distance are you doing?
Well, I went for 4Ks by accident this morning because I keep taking wrong turns, which I'm putting down to sleep deprivation again. We also, over the summer, moved house. I had one of those summers where you fit in every possible big life-changing event you can have. I got married and then I moved house and then I had a baby. I don't recommend doing all those things in the space of 7 weeks if you can avoid it.
No.
So yeah, I'm probably up to about 4Ks now. I'm getting lost regularly, which is great because it's increasing my distance organically, I guess.
That's true. And I mean, Yeah, so you'll be doing like when we've had a few people sign up in the for early bird, which happens about 3 weeks before Learn to Run starts, which starts on the 13th of March. So people who sign up early start doing, like they get access to the Facebook group and they meet their coach and they start doing about 3 walks a week just to get ready for the program. So everyone's going to be starting to do that this week, hopefully, which you've already obviously already got a head start on. And other things coming up that people should probably be aware of is it looks like we've got a good Operation Move contingent in, I think it's June 24th for the Surf Coast Trail down in Victoria. And it you I think there's the option of either a half or a full, I think, for that one. Which I will definitely not be doing the full.
Oh, you sure?
it looks super pretty and picturesque, and I think that there's going to be a whole heap of people down there. So that could be a good one to sort of pencil in. I will be up at the Gold Coast in July because this is so close to me. So and I'm coaching plenty of people who are running on the Gold Coast. So even if I don't run, which I probably will, who am I kidding? But they have a great sort of like finishing zone and people cross the line and you're right there with all of these coffee and food stalls, which I think is a great thing. They have that at Great Ocean Road too, which I think is just a genius idea to have market food at the end of a run. I mean, I don't know why more people don't do it because you've
Oh,
got a
absolutely.
very hungry, very captive audience. And also in May, so it's a ways off, but we are also hosting a whole life challenge, which I think is going to be a really cool thing. It's app based and it focuses on, it's sort of a challenge and you get points for all sorts of different areas. So like sleep, hydration, mindfulness activities, exercise. But the exercise part is really balanced with the other parts and it's only sort of, I think, the requirement is only about 10 minutes a day. So even if you're not able to leave the house for exercise, you could do a quick routine at home and do it that way. And also there's also a nutrition component and you can pick sort of which kind of nutrition you want to follow based on your goals. So they sort of have kickstart lifestyle and performance, and so you can kind of decide how focused you want your nutrition to be, or if you just want it to be more along the lines of just a slight improvement and you know working more of it into your lifestyle than you currently have, and that kind of thing. It goes for 8 weeks, and I think it will be seeing how much people enjoy the step challenges. I think that it will be something that people get a lot out of and it'll kind of get you through that sort of winter slump that
Yeah,
tends to
I'm
happen
really
when it's
excited about that.
cold, you know. And it, and I tend to live in a bubble, like because like oh, in summer I'll be like people will be going, oh, I went out for a run today. I'm like, how? It's so hot. You know, like it must have been horrible. And they're like, you know, Zoe, not everywhere is as hot as there. It's 18 degrees here, and you're like, oh yeah, okay. And then I get to winter, and I'm like, what are you people whinging about? And they're like, it's -10 degrees here, freezing. I'm like, oh, okay, because you know, even
Yeah.
probably the coldest it's ever been here. Like when I go out for a run in the morning, like occasionally it would be, you know, like zero, but that's very, very rare. For the most part, if I went out in the morning in the middle of winter, it's like 10 degrees, it's very nice.
Oh, that's warmer than it was here last night in February. So, yeah.
and so that's sort of like I, you know, I get like the, it's not really 3 months of awful weather, it's more like 2 months. Like January and February here for summer is pretty challenging as far as running weather goes. But then I pretty much get fantastic weather for the rest of the year. So, you know, I get very jealous of people with their cool summer running conditions. But when I complain about it, they say, talk to me in winter. And I'm like, yeah, okay, that's a fair statement. So, I think, if people really like it, it's also something that we can do in September and also in January. So we'll just use this as a pilot program to see if it's something that people are really going to get into. I think that I really like that it's not just exercise based, so it can be really flexible for people to do the things that they like to do, whether that's walking or dance class or yoga or whatever it is, and that it's a component out of all of the seven daily habits that they've got there, and then you can kind of like focus on the things that you might be a little bit more needing attention on. Like I could always use some help in the water department. I tend to fall by the wayside there. So that's another thing that we have got coming up. We'll be running Learn to Run in March and April, and then it usually goes on about a 5 week gap. So if you are not quite ready, then you can usually you can just jump on the update list. So you'll get an email when the new one starts. And now I'm getting really excited for it, because you know you have a bit of an off season with people's events over summer, and now people are starting to get into, you know, like we've got on the weekend, we've got like a fair few people running in the Wangaratta Running Festival. Like I know Nikki and Jane are, and you know, you've got all of that sort of stuff happening, and people start getting their bling. It starts getting very exciting. But also, if you have any ideas from what you'd like to see us talk about in the podcast this year, feel free to either tell us in the community group, which is at facebook.com/group/opmove, and we'll link to that, or you can email me at zoe@operationmove.com.au as well. We are looking at changing the format a bit this year, so we'll have things that are focused on fitness, and then we are going to also have things that are focused on, you know, other things like body positivity and body image and
women's health,
women's
all that
health,
fun stuff. Things that I just think it'll be great to maybe have a chat about some issues that affect women, full stop. And because obviously for all of us who value fitness, we're fitting it in amongst a whole lot of other things in our lives. So yeah, it'd be nice to kind of branch out and have a chat about some of those other things as well.
Yeah, and you know, I think that it can also, you know, the fitness area being what it is, it can also bring up a lot of feminist issues and things like that. You know, like I was talking to Josh the other night about, I was talking to him about that post that people might see up at the moment called Learning to Run is a Really Big Deal. And he said, what's that about? And I said, well, you know, like for a lot of people, particularly women, getting outside is a hard thing. It's a brave thing. And, you know, and sometimes, you know, you are being, you know, critiqued for it, either, you know, unfortunately, either at home or, you know, there have certainly been times when I've been running along and, you know, like people have yelled at me outside out their cars or, you know, whatever. Like it's there's all sorts of areas where women are, you know, encouraged not to be at the gym, not to be outside, and not to sort of like take up space or, you know, all that kind of stuff. And I think a lot of it sort of there are a lot of connected things that, you know, that people will start to experience as a result of, you know, of starting to run or starting something else, where they start thinking about, do. Am I unhappy because I am this way, or am I unhappy because society keeps telling me that I need to be, you know, this way, and how those things sort of relate to, you know, like how you see yourself and all of that sort of stuff. So I think it's the kind of thing that people like to hear from us, and we can certainly talk about it forever.
Oh, we sure can. We've got all the thoughts about all the things.
So yeah, and I think that we could also go into some more practical sort of more tutorial type stuff too. Like, you could do one where I could just, you know, listen and give you encouraging noises while you talk about food prep and meal planning. And, you know, like, I could do one about sort of structuring your week and how to, you know, how to fit things in. Like this morning, because I was battling with my office door yesterday, I didn't get my my weights in. So I got up at 6:30 this morning, and I have at the moment, because the weights are getting heavy, I usually have about a 3 minute rest in between sets. So I like go out to the garage, do my 5 reps, and then come back in, like make a sandwich, go back out there, and then like cut up their, you know, fruit and veggies for fruit break, go back out there. And so by the time I'd finished my weights this morning, I'd also finished making the kids breakfast and making their lunches. So, you know, there are just little things where if you kind of like challenge the I don't have time, yeah, that you can get a little bit creative, which is what I tend to do, because I really like to maximize that time for work stuff while they're at school, because that gives me really concentrated block of time to work on the things where I really want to be giving it 100% of my focus, and not kind of like writing two lines of a blog post and then going out to the garage to lift weights or whatever. So yeah, I think that there's a lot of things that that we could do this year, but we would also love your feedback on that as well. As always, if you want to take advantage of any of our coaching programs, you can use the discount code podcast at checkout and get 10% off. And I think that we will leave it there, because we've had a very good run with little Miss Baby there. And
And I think she's not far off waking up and getting very hungry, because that's what we do at our place.
So yeah, we will talk to you guys next week, and we look forward to listening to what you would like us to talk about.
Yep, and we will hear from you hopefully very soon in the community group.
All right, speak to you next week.
Bye. Bye.